stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
You know it. We're going to work for you here, too, on the Maggie Dawn Show. I am Maggie Dawn, your host. Here with me in the booth is, of course, Evan Preston, my tireless producer. And you are listening to the Civic Media Network. You can always download that app and listen to us crystal clear no matter where you are on this rock called Earth. You can get it in your favorite app store. And if you've got the app, you can call or text the show at any time with just one touch, or do it the old-fashioned way, 844-967-2789. I was really, really, really excited to have my guest today joining me because, to be honest with y'all, I need a little pick-me-up after the end of last week and all the Supreme Court decisions. I mean, did anybody really think that, you know, they were going to go for the gusto and not only get the Voting Rights Act cases right, for the most part with some scary caveats in those decisions, but get those right and then actually get all the rest of it right too? No. And I just have to say this, very interesting to me, and I talked about this fact on The Devils on Friday, but I didn't have a chance to share it on my show, and I had to, and that is the order that the court decided to issue those decisions. Like, they were in the pocket weeks. It's not like some clerk was up late on Thursday night typing out the last bits of the 303 creative case. So why that order? Why the affirmative action case on Thursday? And then why 303 creative? And then, of course, the Biden student loan decision on Friday. And I have a little theory. And my little theory is pretty basic. And it goes a little something like this. You sure as heck do not want to issue both the affirmative action case and the 303 case on the same day. And you probably don't want to issue them on Thursday together because people might be paying attention. And so I think the idea was to split up the two most harmful decisions, because I think President Biden's going to go at the student loan problem through another act of Congress. And you sure don't want to issue them together on Thursday, because if you stack the decisions up together, here's what they are in summary. Pages and pages of legal analysis. I'm just going to boil it down for you to one sentence. Okay? This is, you take the affirmative action case. That's going to be the thing that I say first. It's going to be the decision summary of that. And then I'm going to give you the second part of the sentence, and that's going to be the summary on the 303 creative case. So here it is. Hundreds of pages of legal analysis. You got to treat everybody the same. Because screw history. Well, except for those gays, you can treat them differently. That is what they said. On Thursday, they said, treat everybody the same, which isn't really treating everybody the same. But again, screw history. And then on Friday, they said, except for the gays. That's it. You can't issue those decisions together. There's just too much cognitive dissonance. But anyways, so this affirmative action thing got me thinking over the weekend, aside from having some general malaise about rolling into July 4th, which is my guest today got me through the malaise, and I'm going to introduce her in just a moment. But the affirmative action thing got me thinking about what exactly is merit in this country? Because we seem to be real hell-bent stuck on what it is, or that no one should get anything except for having earned it. So earned what? Who decides what gets valued in which way and how? And we talk about the free market a lot and, oh, well, that should decide. But it's not, there's no free market anywhere on this planet, right? That's a mythology. And we've sort of used this fiction, this mythology that somehow we have actual capitalism here, free from government, free from any meaningful government intrusion. We should just have more of that. Things will magically get better, is also based on the sort of mythology of meritocracy. Work hard, think hard, be smart, get stuff is effectively the equation. But it doesn't take one long on this planet, especially if you're not coming from money originally, white and male, to figure out that, like, oh my gosh, sometimes I work really hard and I get bupkis. And what I think is really interesting about my guest and why I was so excited and why her being here helped me feel better this weekend was because there's a group of people that have a lot of capital, both social and the actual monetary kind. And they're talking, they're challenging these ideas about this myth of meritocracy in a really pragmatic way that I think speaks to what our core values are. And to get beyond just the idea of merit, earn, and say, listen, people have some fundamental rights. We do not dole out the right to vote only to those that are landed gentry anymore. There's no precondition to voting in this country except for the fact that you're a citizen. Everyone else, we've fought many a war to finally get to a place where at least ostensibly we're all supposed to have an equal voice in our governance. But does anyone actually think that that's true? Right? You talk to most people and they're woefully unaware of the way actual governmental policies impact their lives. And they have this disaffection, this sort of, ugh, I don't care anymore. That's because they don't feel like they have an equal say, that their voice matters as much as the rich landed gentry. Do we want another plutocracy here? You know, this isn't Medici Rome. Are we just going to allow ourselves to be governed by the bankers and the IT executives and the... Okay, so there's that concept, of course, equal access to governmental processes and an equal voice and how that all sorts out. But then there has to be this idea, right, underlying meritocracy. It would require one basic principle that we all go, mm-hmm, yeah, that makes sense. If it's supposed to be meritocratic, shouldn't it simply be the case that if you work full time, you can sustain a reasonable, you can pay for your family, you can pay rent, and you're not going to go into the poorhouse. You're not one paycheck away from a food line. Shouldn't it be that if you work full time, that should sustain your family? Setting the Duggars and their 19 kids aside. You know, the average size family. And third and finally, if it should be meritocratic and we understand that government's really expensive and clean air is expensive and building dams and, you know, shoring up our bridges so they don't, that stuff's expensive. Defense spending expensive. Whatever your set of things are that you think government should be doing, I guarantee it's very expensive. And if you say nothing, well, we don't have to actually have a conversation. That's really expensive. And so shouldn't it be just baseline, all else being equal, that people that have a lot of money and corporations that make a lot of profit pay more than the rest of us for the government stuff? So when we talk about meritocracy, we talk about values, we talk about these concepts of fairness, it really presupposes that some of that architecture actually works. And this group called the Patriotic Millionaires, which my guest Erica Payne is the founder and president of this group, the Patriotic Millionaires, that's what they're here to point out. The architecture ain't working. And it's high time we all start operating from the same set of facts about that architecture. Welcome, Erica Payne. She is also the co-author of Tax the Rich, How Lies, Loopholes, and Lobbyists Make the Rich Even Richer, as well as another book I found that you titled The Practical Progressive, Erica. And I almost jumped out of my chair when I read that you wrote this book because I have frequently referred to myself as a passionate pragmatist. Right? Like, I want to know if it's working, and if it's working, who is it working for and by how much of a margin, right? And there's so much of that built into what you and the Patriotic Millionaires are trying to do. Let's just start there. Who are the Patriotic Millionaires and what are you all about? Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Thank you so much, Maggie. I'm so excited to be here. So let me give you a little history of the Patriotic Millionaires. So the Patriotic Millionaires first came together in 2010. It was during the lame duck session of Congress, which is between when the new Congress has been elected, but they haven't been seated yet. So the old folks are still in there before they get out of office in January. It became really clear that President Obama was going to extend a bunch of tax cuts. Okay, a bunch of tax cuts that had been put in by George Bush, contemplating extending these tax cuts for people who made more than $1 million a year. And Maggie, it just pissed me off You know, I mean, the last people on the planet who need a tax cut are people making more than $1 million a year. And then here's this incoming, you know, historical presidency. And this
they leave them in place.
You know, in the wake of not dealing with the Wall Street people and nobody goes to jail and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I just kind of had it with the whole thing. And so I called a couple of rich people that I know, because when you work in politics, you meet a lot of millionaires. And we basically wrote a letter that said, for the good of the country, raise my taxes. We got 56 whopping people to sign the letter.
And just to contextualize this, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but this was before Warren Buffett had launched the, like, give, if you're a bazillion, like if you're actually a billionaire, be sure that you give at least half of it away. That was before this, okay, right?
We're gonna put a side note in Warren Buffett, because one of the great irritations of my life is that Warren Buffett gets an absolutely absurd amount of positive PR, you know, whatever
off of that, yeah,
he's spending on the PR people. Warren Buffett has very famously said that he pays a lower tax rate than his secretary, which he does. Yep. And he has gotten an unbelievable amount of positive press out of stating the factual, yep.
Obvious truths.
Pay a lower tax rate than his secretary. But the fact that he says it publicly doesn't mean he's doing anything about it. And I think that people believe when he says something about it, he's actually doing something about it. I worked in the tax space for a long time. Warren Buffett does not give a single dime to a single organization that works on this stuff. To my knowledge, he has never placed a phone call. He certainly has not gone on an advertising campaign to try to fix this. And the tax system is what is wrong with America. In essence, with his giving pledge, okay, so first of all, the giving pledge is a bunch of billionaires who said they were going to give away half their money. Okay. First of all the people who gave away, all the people who allegedly were going to give away half of their money are all richer now today than they were before they pledged they were going to give away half of their money. So I'll believe
it's funny how that works. Money making money.
Yeah. So I'm going to believe that when I see it. So, you know, positive PR, stop reading your own press releases and why don't you put your money where your mouth is and actually do something about this screwed up system of ours. And until then, I'm not going to have one single solitary nice thing to say about Mr. Buffett. God
bless.
You
heard it here first from Erica Payne. The founder and president of the Patriotic Millionaires. We're going to talk more with Erica right after this break. Yeah, that Warren Buffett pledge, not worth the air it was written on. Whew, talk about it. A little bit more when we get back. Join the convo. 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Join the conversation. What the heck is a meritocracy if just, you know, the tax system doesn't work that way? And it really, really doesn't here. A couple of weeks ago, I said this. We tax labor very differently than we tax money that earns money. So labor earns money and money earns money, and we treat them as if they're very different. But the thing that they're producing, more money, it's the same outcome widget, you know, if you think about it. Anyways, my fabulous guest, woman after my own heart, I would like to say she probably also could have called herself a passionate pragmatist, as I could call myself a practical progressive. My friend, Erica Payne, the founder and president of the Patriotic Millionaires. Thanks again for being here, Erica. It's really my pleasure to finally meet you and to do this live, and you'll be back, which is so cool. So everybody, mark your calendars. Erica will be back with me next week, Tuesday, July 11th, because the whole reason that she's here is there is something really cool that's going down in Richland Center. So you got to keep listening to find out what that thing is, because we were just talking a little bit about Warren Buffett and the tax system not working and how the Patriotic Millionaires got started. But we had to go to break. So Tell me why Warren Buffett's all full of it when he starts to talk about his pledge.
Well, I mean, listen, so God bless him for saying he's going to give half his money away. I'd love to see him actually give the money away and to give it to something other than another foundation or a donor advised fund. So to actually put it to work. So what a lot of people do is they take the tax break that they get when they give the money away, but they give the money to a donor advised fund. The donor advised fund has no payout requirement. So you can basically get your tax break, dump all your money in a donor advised fund, give none of it out. So the American people end up paying about 74 cents on the dollar for the tax break that you got for the money that's not being spent. So let's just leave that aside for the second. At the end of the day, what we need to realize one very important thing, Maggie, and that is billionaire philanthropy is not going to save us, full stop. Right. No one's philanthropy is going to save us. Right. Philanthropy has a wonderful and very important role to play in our society, and I encourage everybody to give to your community centers, to your churches, to people in need. But what we have in America is a structural problem based on how we have actually put together our economy. And let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is that we have created a mechanism at the heart of our shared experience, the structure of the economy. And I say that very intentionally. The economy is not a living thing. It doesn't exist in a vacuum. In fact, the real phrase for the economy is the political economy. They stopped using the first word. It used to be known as the political economy, and that's because most of the decisions that affect the economy and that particularly affect the economy, how your economy, your personal economy works, those are decisions that are largely made in the political arena. And right now we have a political arena who is creating an economy that's going to destroy the country. The way the economy is currently structured, Maggie, it guarantees that we are going to become even more unequal, even more quickly. Over time, we are currently at 100-year level highs of inequality. This is worse than the Gilded Age. The rich are getting richer. Everybody
faster.
Else is the same. We're going down. And it's destabilized the whole country. Yep. The analogy I use, Maggie, is think of that wooden block game, Jenga. If you keep on pulling the blocks out of the bottom, pull the blocks out of the middle, and put them all on top, what do you think is going to happen? The whole thing's going to fall down. And we're in a situation in America right now where the whole thing is falling down. It doesn't matter what political party you are in. You can look around and say, basically, everybody in America is in a fight with everybody else all the time about everything. Okay. And if you doubt that, go on Twitter for 4 seconds and you'll realize.
Yeah, right.
And so what's happened, though, is that we broke the social contract. Okay. Over multiple decades, we hacked away at the obligation of the rich to invest in the country that made them rich in the first place. Okay.
Yep.
Number one, we've given them an unbelievable number of preferences in the tax code. So every single dollar a wealthy person makes is worth more than every single dollar a regular person
makes.
We've let the bottom fall out of the wage floor. So people who are working hard, adding to their company's bottom line, are not legally compensated for it. You know who's legally compensated for it? The CEOs who are now making 1,500, right. 2,000, 3,000 times their average worker. That number used to be 20 times back when America was working better from an economic point.
Yeah, 20 to what? 20 times to how many times, Erica?
I mean, listen, the CEO of Disney, okay? The CEO of Gap, we're talking the CEO of Walmart, we're talking 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 times their lowest employees. And when you go in to apply for a job at Walmart, when you get that job, they don't give you a health insurance form to fill out. They give you a Medicaid application to fill out so that you can work at their store. So here's the thing. The main thing I want people to walk away from, Maggie, you know, on the day after our birthday, America had a birthday yesterday. So first, happy birthday, America.
Yep. I'm so happy to
live in this country. What a great place, and what a great place that could be even better. And so that's really the goal here. We're looking at, in a couple of years, we're going to turn 250 years old. Okay, what do we want the second 250 years of the greatest experiment in human governance ever done on this planet in the history of mankind? That's the question in front of us. And so the patriotic millionaires are saying, listen, let's check this out. Let's make things work better for the second half of for our next 250 years. And there are some very, very straightforward, incredibly popular
and common sense things.
How does that hurt as a majority of America? Yes. Let's get those things done.
Absolutely. If you want to find out what's going to be popping off in Richland Center, come next Wednesday, July 12th. You got to listen into the third segment with my good friend, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. You got questions? We have answers. 844-967-2789. Keep it locked. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Join the conversation with myself and my new friend, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires, 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And you are sharing with us the focus of the Patriotic Millionaires on the tax code and how it's not working for middle America. And you guys have some strategies to deal with this. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we absolutely do. So listen, so we're 13 years into this work, okay, to try to fix this economy so that it doesn't destroy the country, okay? And so regular, everyday people can have the kind of lives that they deserve to have. That's what we're here for. And it's three principles that animate the Patriotic Millionaires. Number one, if you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. That is not true in many parts of the country. Number two, whatever money we need to collect for running the country, the richest people in the country need to pay for the very vast majority of it, and they don't need any preferential treatment in the tax code. Okay, number two. And number three, we've got to fix the distribution of political power in this country. There was actually a Princeton study done, Maggie, that showed that the wants and needs of the average American have a statistical zero probability of becoming law unless they are supported either by the business community or by the political donor class. And so sort of enter into this, the Patriotic Millionaires. Our belief is that working people in America should be able to have the economy they want, regardless of what political party is in charge. And the fact is, regardless of what political party has been in charge in the last 40 or 50 years, the tax rate for the richest people in the country goes down. Earnings of working people never seem to go up, and power gets concentrated along with wealth in a smaller and smaller group of people. So this is not a Democrat problem or a Republican party. This is an American people problem, and it's a problem that only the American people can solve. And so the Patriotic Millionaires are here to help them solve this problem. And by the way, I want to be really clear in the words of our chairman, our members are not any more altruistic than the next person. They're just greedy for a different kind of country. As Morris Pearl, our chairman, says, I want to be a rich man in a rich country. I don't want to be a rich man in a poor country, because being a rich man in a poor country sucks. Okay. You walk around in an armored car and you look around you and your kids can't play. Okay. We don't want that. We want a country that everybody gets to run around in.
If I can also just say this, that's a really, like, I want to lean into that point, right? Like, if this is also meritocratic, then why don't we create a system where everybody's actually got a shot at the brass ring in a very real and meaningful way? Because then if you grab it, you have actually earned it, right? Like, if the game is all rigged, it's not just because you were born into this world with some sort of ideal set of things and opportunities, doesn't that in and of itself isn't a skill set, right? That isn't in and of itself worthy of adoration or exaltation through our political and our political economic systems. Well, I interrupted you, my friend.
A lot of wealthy people in the country, and probably a lot of the kids and grandkids of wealthy people in the country, have been spending too much time reading their own press releases. And so we actually, a native Wisconsin, a Wisconsinite, Chuck Collins, who is the great grandson of Oscar Mayer, the meat packer. We have been talking a lot about Wisconsin. And so we are launching next Wednesday, in Richland Center, Wisconsin, we are launching the second program in our Great Economy Project. And the goal of the Great Economy Project is to bring together working people across the political spectrum to talk to them about how the economy is structured and how it could be structured better to meet the needs of them and their community. So on Wednesday, the 12th, we are coming to Richland Center. I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited. I've been there one time for a site visit. We're coming in. We've invited everybody in Richland Center to come. If you're in Richland Center, consider yourself invited. If you're outside of Richland Center, consider yourself invited. We are going to get together in Richland Center. We're going to serve everybody supper. We're going to give everybody $50 for coming. We want to be respectful of people's time. We'll be there for about 2 hours. It's from 5:30 to 7:30. Dinner, prizes, $50 just for participating. And we're going to share with you our top to bottom view on how the economy is structured and what we can do about it to fix it. And so we're—
Where is it in Richland Center? So I just want to get all the details out there.
The Phoenix Center. So the Phoenix Center is that great bowling alley and then community center. I think y'all, people, folks in Richland do a lot of stuff there. So we thought, what a great place. People can come bowl a little before, come join us for supper, bowl a little afterwards. You might even see me out there. I do love to bowl. And so we're going to get in there. And we're inviting everybody in town, and we want Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and the biggest constituency of all in America, which is can't stand any of them. Here's the thing, Maggie. People spend a lot of time, political people spend a lot of time talking about abortion, LGBTQ, transgender, this, that, and the other, critical race theory, funding the FBI, not funding the FBI, you know, whatever they want to talk about. And we've got news for them. Most of this is about money. Yeah. We live in a capitalist democracy. So rather than talking about abortion and LGBT and a, like a trans kid who wants to participate in sports, have any opinion about those things you want to have, that's great. What we want to talk to you about is money. Money, 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 money. Because what this is all about is money. And you can trust yourself. If a politician is talking to you about something other than money, they are stealing your money.
Working
people in America do not make enough money, period. And they carry the tax burden for these rich folks who are building themselves rockets. Okay. The average American pays twice the tax rate on the income that they make working as the investor makes clicking a button on an E-Trade account. The biggest corporations in the country are paying zero in taxes. You, Maggie, probably paid more to fund roads that FedEx drives on than FedEx. Okay, get your head around that. Yep. This is not a sustainable system, period. And we're seeing it. How many more school shootings do we need to have? Social unrest? How many more fights do we need to see veil on Twitter? Everybody in America realizes that something is wrong, and the place we need to go to fix it is the economy.
Yep.
The economy. We have got to quit driving people apart by making inequality a factor of the structure of our society. Because what happens? Cynical political operatives go in, they see vulnerable people who are vulnerable because they don't have enough money to deal with their lives because the wage system has been screwed up over multiple decades by multiple political parties, okay? And then you insert in that something about how somebody's different, they look different, they act different, they talk different, whatever that is. And you get these cynical political operatives and they start to exploit those differences. Let me tell you why they're doing it. They're doing it for one reason and one reason only, to keep working people from working together to get an economy that works.
And don't pay attention to what actually impacts the quality of life. Let's pay attention to things that we can make arbitrary distinctions regarding and create separation and distraction.
And when this is about money. And so Maggie,
long con. It is a long con, right? Generations incoming.
So join us in Phoenix Center. Anybody listening, join us at the Phoenix Center next Wednesday at 5:30. We'll give you $50 for your trouble. We're going to have a great dinner. We'll do some fun prizes at our first meet and greet that we do in any community. We offer a bunch of prizes, a PS5, a vacuum cleaner, and we do a vacuum cleaner because
now you're speaking my language. Good vacuum cleaner, boy.
we had a great guy from our first session that we did in Whiteville, North Carolina. He just gotten home from the Trump rally and he won the vacuum cleaner and he was thrilled. He kept on coming back to see how the economy is rigged. Because here's the other thing, Maggie. Working people in America are the most powerful people in America. And working people in Richland Center, Wisconsin, this pivotal state and this pivotal town, we believe these are the most powerful people in America. So we want to share some information with them about CEO pay, about workers, about, you know, labor laws, and about the tax system. And then with that information, we then want to help them do some training and how to tell their stories, how to talk to lawmakers, how to build their individual power, and then pass it on to them to go demand of lawmakers of both parties the economy that will work for working people. 44% of people in this country make less than $18 an hour. That's a constituency that every politician should be gunning for. So you know what? Let's get them to the table to raise the wage floor. Let's get them to the table to fix the tax system that's going to destroy the country if it isn't fixed. And the thing that I like the most about this, Maggie, is it's just simple math. Yes. Okay. I got a Wharton MBA, fancy MBA school. And you know what? I knew about everything I needed to know before I went into that program because I know how to add. And I know that in Richland Center, the cost of one person taking care of themselves in any decent standard of living is $15.05 an hour. Yep. The minimum wage in Richland Center, Wisconsin is $7.25 an hour. We have a math gap.
Yep.
And working people in America can close that gap, lift up their communities, secure themselves and their families, and fix the whole country. And then if you want to have conversations about some of these other issues, let's do it from a position of feeling strong, feeling stable.
Absolutely. I think it's always been a bit of a misnomer that we have to have these discussions in this reverse order, if you will, right? Like, what is going on with that? The discussion has to be, is the system working for most of us most of the time? Do we, and rooted in these very principles that I think the patriotic millionaires are talking about, and that is, start with the premise that if you work a full-time job, it should be enough to satisfy your basic needs. If we haven't met that, I would suggest minimal of minimal like hurdles and claim to be the best country in the world. Like, something's missing there. And so much of this has been, I think, long con kind of distractionary politics. And because some of those distractionary politics have these really acute effects for certain people, those are really compelling stories. And we all react to the stories, right? But meanwhile, back at the ranch, right? Budgets in government are expressions of values. So are tax codes, right? So is the legislation that is enacted. But none of that stuff is very, like, at its base, interesting to, you know, read tweets about. But the math has gotten so extraordinary that I think we may be now at that breakthrough point, Erica. I don't know if you have that same feeling. Like, it's as if those that have been benefiting from the system have been leaning a little bit too far in on that, because the mathing is so powerful right now.
Yeah.
You stop being able to put a fig leaf on it. And I think that's why the hysteria in the partisanship politics, right, in the distract everybody with culture war issues, I think why that hysteria is at the pitch it's at is because folk know that the math is so extreme right now. And my concern has always been, especially with the ascendancy of AI and a lot of tech, is that the disparities, which we've seen growing at a faster rate in a more acute way, right? That rate of disparity creation, right? Of wealth, income inequality, that separation is just going to continue to accelerate with the pace of technological innovation, which is a thing that simply cannot be contained. So there's so much here. I'm so excited that Sage introduced me to you. My hat's off to Sage, and introduced me to the Patriotic Millionaires. I got to say, on both, if I can, Erica, and on my own behalf, listen, we're just the folks that help think about and talk about these things. Like, I'm not the one signing up for it. Erica's been hardworking in political strategy her entire career, done a lot of really interesting political consulting, and now helping the Patriotic Millionaires out with how to talk to folks about this to cut through all of that distraction. We've got just a little bit of time, Erica. I want to be sure I get your last and conclusory thoughts, other than, of course, it's the Phoenix Center. Go bowling in Richland Center before 5:30, then join the Patriotic Millionaires, and let's talk about the way the system really works. July 12th, you'll even get $50 and a free dinner. Erica, I'll give it back to you. We got about, just about 30 seconds left. What say you?
Go to AmericanAgenda.com. You can learn more about the program. Sign up if you want to. We'd love to have an RSVP so we know how much food to get. If you don't have time to RSVP, just show up on Wednesday at 5:30. We are excited to come to Wisconsin and talk about the economy with folks all across the working, all across the political spectrum. Let's fix this country. I'm so excited to come, Maggie.
Not a red or blue issue. It's just a me and you issue. So be there, be square. It's Richland Center, July 12th at 5:30. My hat's off to my friend Erica Payne. She'll be back next Tuesday. We'll talk more. Thank you. Keep it locked. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy. Lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe. But she knows she can fly away.
The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. Big thanks to my last guest, Erica Payne of the Patriotic Millionaires. But join us, join them, the Great Economy Project. Let's just have a discussion about how the economy works and doesn't work in different ways for different groups of people. That is the Phoenix Center and Richland Center, July 12th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. You get a free dinner, you get $50. To respect your time, all are welcome. Just like here on Civic Media, you can join the discussion 844-967-2789. We are in our last segment of the day. I had to just start with a little complaint. This has nothing to do with the important news of the day, but this really bugged me. I'm a huge Brewers fan. You know, I grew up, I was 5 years old when the 82 Brewers were doing their thing, and you know, like I had all the McDonald's glasses and went to George Webb for the free burgers. And I think there's no reasonable argument that can ever be made that we need to figure out how to pay for the stadium so that the Brewers stay here. I don't have any idea why they got rid of the sales tax. Everybody was used to it. Now all of a sudden we need these huge chunks of money. Lame. But here's what, on a very rare occasion, I will talk about sports on this radio show because I love them. I grew up playing them. I think they're a huge part of our culture. It's what a lot of us regular folk like to do with our free time. And here is what. The Cubs manager, during an interview yesterday, just went on one of the whiniest little rants I have ever heard about ball and strike calls, okay? And yes, the game was not what you would call an emblem of umpiric excellence, okay? Like, hardly. But the Brewers had a run stolen from them from bad calls. And this man, like, bad calls are part of every sporting endeavor. It's just part of it. You win or you don't win, right? The Cubs pulled that one out in extra innings. And not only did this guy go on this rant about this, it was profane. It was laced with a bunch of profanity. And it's like, cherry on top of his whiny complaint Sunday was the fact, oh, they started closing the dome and blah, 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 the roof. Yes, all stadiums confer to the home team a home team advantage. Again, what part of what this man was saying is was somehow like unique, new, or different about what went on during that baseball game? I was, you know, I talk back Thursdays. I was I have to do it today. It's Wednesday, but who cares? I had to scream at my Twitter feed. I was like, are you kidding me? You complain about bad calls and home field advantage. What are we in, Little League? Like, grow up. Anyways, I had to get it up off my chest, Evan, because I'm going to the game after the show. Screw the Cubs. But I will defer to our esteemed callers Tom, from my friend from LA, you are up. What is on your mind, my friend?
Well, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I totally agree with you about the Brewers. It is a, you know, just like the Packers, the Bucks. This is what makes up a lot of Wisconsin. So for any Republican out there that wants to defund a team or, you know, what have you in sporting events, really, really need to understand. I guess they must hate sports or something. I haven't figured that out yet. But third, I love the Millionaires Club. I wish they would get together with represent.us and move to amend.org. And I wish these groups would come together to get money completely out of politics and talk about the average family in Wisconsin or California or wherever, you know, where they're making $60,000 a year. They're paying $15,000 in taxes. They're paying $15,000 in mortgage. They're paying $15,000 in medical care. And they're
another 15 G's in child care.
For child care. So you have nothing left. There's absolutely nothing left. And the thing is, maybe generational wealth did it in the past. There is no generational middle class wealth left anymore.
No.
So I don't know what people are going to do. And I wish people would stop fighting about, you know, people's personal lives and who they sleep with and all these different things that they do, and focus on the very simple fact of the math, like you guys were saying.
Right, like gay, straight, whatever it is, right? Like you have to, the system still has to work. Like, why are you arguing with your gay neighbor about their gayness if you're still getting screwed by the system? It doesn't, like, clearly that is meant to create an argument that's not about the system not working for people.
People out there, you know, when you think of gay, straight, just think about left-handed, right-handed.
Right.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. There's people that are left-handed out there, and there's people that are right-handed out there, and they're born that way. But years
and I
ago,
like, well, and I like the people. Analogy of the handedness, because is the fact that my neighbor is left-handed going to impact me unless I have to sit next to him at dinner, in which case that lefty better sit on the right side of me. Get it?
100%. No, but you're absolutely right. The thing is, it's you know, it's an orientation. It's a situation that you were born that way. And most of those people that were forced to write with the right-handed desk, sooner or later in life, they always went back to the left hand, because that's actually what they actually were born to be.
Yep. So, I got to let you go, Mark. Excuse me. Got to let you go, Tom, because I got Mark on the line and we got a little bit of time left. Thanks so much for calling. Keep listening, my friend. Mark from the SAC, you got about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, I'm here. That I can't help but thinking of that this is kind of like what the Millionaires are proposing is like Thomas Paine's Agrarian Justice, where those that have achieved, have gotten cake drawn from the commons and achieved wealth should be paying into the system so the rest of us at least have something.
Yeah, it's the basic concept, right? To those that have a lot, you know, much is owed to others and much is owed to the system, and certainly more is owed of them proportionately. They should have a bigger share of paying for the system, paying for government, than do working class Americans. It just makes sense that way, doesn't it? Yeah, so let's make sure the math is mathing. The Phoenix Center and Richland Center, 5:30 to 7:30, $50 in your pocket and a free dinner in your belly, July 12th, next Wednesday. This has been another episode of The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Network. Keep it locked in and boo Cubs.
She's just a girl, but she's on fire.